Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
been shed. It's all at the altar. He will meet your need.
Hello?
I'm still here.
Oh.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. First, I'd like to say good morning to each and every person that have touched this line tonight. Today, name by name, city by city, state by state. We give God praise and honor today for what he's doing right now. And before we start on our exciting topic for today, which is prayer, we'll have a few moments of prayer. Oh, gracious Father, we come this morning just to say thank you. We come lifting you up, dear Heavenly Father. We come giving you the praise, dear Heavenly Father. It's all about you. It's not about us, dear Heavenly Father. We come and giving you all the blessings that we have today, dear Heavenly Father. As we go forth today, dear Heavenly Father, talking about prayer, dear Heavenly Father, let the people call in. Let them listen, dear Heavenly Father, for what the Spirit has to say today on part two of prayer, dear Heavenly Father. We thank God for the guests that will be on to talk about prayer today, dear Heavenly Father. We give you praise, dear Heavenly Father. We say thank you, thank you, thank you. We say hallelujah, hallelujah to your name. We say amen. Amen and amen. And today we're going to be talking about prayer. I'm doing a twofold today. I'm on the chat line and I'm also on the switchboard. So y'all give me a few minutes. If anybody should come in on the chat line, give me a few minutes just to click over to it. But today we're going to be talking about prayer. And before we start with our guest, I'm just going to mention a few things, and I'm going to let him get right on into it. Today we're talking about, what I'm talking about a little bit is prayer that changes, and we're going to talk a little bit about intercession. A lot of people say they're doing intercessory prayer, and people say, well, would you pray for me? You know the routine. So today we're going to talk just a little about the act of mercy and compassion on intercession. You know, intercessory is a twofold. Part A is to approach a merciful God with a plea or petition for mercy. Mercy never desires to bring down punishment. And I have scriptures for that, so I hope you come with your paper and your pencils today. Well, you can go to Exodus 33 and 18, 34 and 6, Numbers 14, 17 through 21, also Hebrews 4, 15 through 16. And you know, to approach the enemy, never people, you're approaching the enemy in behalf of another. Jesus has done this, and you'll read this in what you need in Isaiah 59, the 16th verse through the 21st verse, and has told us to do this. Ephesians 6, chapter 10 through 18. Intercession is key to revelation, to pull down stronghold. You'll find that in John, the 8th chapter, 31 and 32. You know, Paul wrote letters based upon what he received while in intercession. God's going to give you what you need. And you know what? I'm going to come back with that, but we have so much from our guests to talk on prayer today. I'm going to bring our guests in. Guests, be prepared to press 1 on your keypad. We have a guest from area code. There you go. All right. Good morning. Prophet Andrew Sims. You are my guest for today on prayer, and I have you on where the listening audience can hear you today. We have them on the chat line, and we have them on the switchboard. So you are welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach Ministry, where the host is none other than Overseer Sadie Elliott. Welcome to Joy and Peace Ministry today.
Praise the Lord this morning, everyone. It is truly an honor and a privilege that has been afforded to us by the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of Truth to be a spokesman, to be a representative to what it is that God is going to reveal to us today. I just want to thank the Lord for the privilege. And as I get started, I will certainly open up in prayer. Holy Father, once again, we thank you for the opportunity that has been afforded to us. We know, Father, before the foundation of the world that you have ordained this moment, this time. And, Father, we ask in that the holy entourage, the holy regulators, watchers, providers, the supporters, go forth to penetrate the minds and the hearts of people that will hear what it is that you have to say through your prophet. We are grateful and honored to be a representative for what it is that you're about to reveal. And we pray, Father, that people will begin to understand and recognize, to take a closer look at their prayers so that they will know that what they need to do in order to rectify the situation that's taking place in their prayer life. In the name of Jesus, Father, we decree it and declare it, amen and amen. I'd just like to say that we were talking about prayer last week, and we discussed some things that we didn't have an opportunity to finish, but we've got a better hold on things today. And this, one of the things that's wonderful about what Prophet Sims is able to speak about and talk about, it is an open forum, and we have an opportunity to question, an opportunity to challenge the things that I'm about to say. But whatever anyone does or decide to do, make sure that you have the scripture or the word of God to back up what it is that you're about to state. We have discovered at Yahweh School of the Prophets, where I'm the general overseer, that prayers aren't answered because of the fact that most people do not know how to pray. People do not know the way to pray, and they have not been taught how to pray. Even though the disciples were chosen men of God and that had been praying all their lives, when they came to Jesus, they found out that they really didn't know anything about prayer. And so he asked, the disciples asked Jesus, how do you pray? What is the proper way to pray? Which is the right way to pray? And so he taught them how to pray in a way that would be effective. And this is the thing that's amazing to me as a prophet of God, that all of us that have the Holy Ghost are called into the Spirit of God is not able to understand what way to pray, according to Acts 1 and 8. So today we're gonna expose some things. We're going to step on some people's toes. We understand that some people are going to get upset and they're going to get mad, and that's what happens when the truth comes out. So the first thing that we want to understand and let people to know is prayer is a form of communicating. It is a dialogue between two people. And that dialogue, it should not be a monologue. In other words, that dialogue should be in a frame of mind to where God is speaking to you and you're speaking to God. It's a conversation. It's a conversation of communication. But what we've discovered at Yahweh School of the Prophets is that 90%, and I'm going out on a limb by saying this, 90%. 10% of the prayers that are prayed are prayed amiss. I'm going to say that again. 90% of the prayers that we as Christians pray, they are prayed amiss. Now, to give you an example of what it is that I'm saying, when you look at the fact that our Christians are praying for deliverance, Christians are praying for healing, Christians are praying to go on vacations, and when they go on vacations, you come to discover that when they pray before they go on a vacation, half of the people on the bus get killed. People pray for protection from health and sickness and disease, and they get sick. And it's amazing that people pray for certain things, and the Lord says that he will give you the desires of your heart according to the 11th chapter of Mark and Psalms 37 and other places in the Bible. But yet and still, we don't see that. So we're living below the standard of God. So what would be the proper way to pray? Now, I'm going to show you what I'm talking about, and this is what you'll understand. In the book of James, it tells you that if everyone would turn that to the book of James right fast before we get in to a lot of these things we're about to say. Let's everyone turn to the book of James. And as we turn to James, James the fourth chapter, and I'm going to read James the fourth chapter and the third verse. And it states that ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Also in James, the fifth chapter, we go to James the fifth chapter, and it states in the 16th verse, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, going back to the fourth chapter of James, what does that word amiss mean? What does it mean when we pray amiss? Does anybody in the listening audience understand what that means? Can I receive a definition of that, please, from someone that believes that they know? I know that there's someone under the sound of my voice that claims to know this, because we've got many supposed to be prayer warriors on the line. What does it mean when it says amiss? Well, since no one wants to incriminate themselves except for by shuffling papers around and moving, I'm going to give you a definition. The word amiss means simply out of proper order. In other words, when we pray, we're not praying in the proper order that we should. Order for the prayers to be received, to be transmitted to the place where they should go. And what they're saying is simply this. In order for your prayers to be effective, there's three different types of prayers. There's prayers from the heart, there's prayers from the mind, and there's prayers from the mouth. To give you a definition of a prayer from the heart, a prayer from the heart is a prayer that has a single-eyed purpose and a single-eyed focus on what it is you're praying about or praying for. It's a prayer of sincerity. is a prayer that is heartfelt that the Holy Ghost will pick up. A prayer from the mind is a prayer that what you think a prayer should be or what you think a prayer ought to be. A prayer from the mouth is a prayer that you heard somebody else preach or pray or say that is what you call open prayers. A prayer from the mind and a prayer from the mouth is an open prayer. The prayer from the heart is a closed prayer. Now, is there anyone would like to know what it means to have an open or closed prayer? Now, Madam Host.
Yes, sir.
Is there anybody on the line?
I have about 3 on the line besides myself. That's 4. Then I have some on the chat line. So I'm going from the chat. I'm running back and forth from the chat to the switchboard.
Okay. I was just wondering if there was anybody on the line. Are they afraid to speak or to incriminate themselves that they really don't know how to pray? What is actually happening? What are you hearing on the chat?
I'm going to see if 409 can come on. I don't know. They may not be close to they on, but they must have their phone on mute. Let me see. Yeah, their phone on mute. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I have number another one, area code 918. 918, would you like to say something?
I'm sort of listening right now, but I'm here.
Okay. Since nobody wants to talk, let me continue to go on. And 90% of the prayers that people pray are not answered by God. And the reason why they are not answered by God is because people aren't aware that there's 3 different types of prayers. Prayer from the heart, prayer from the mind, and prayer from the mouth. And there's what you call an open prayer and a closed prayer. Now, this is the thing that's really going to open your minds to the things that we are learning and what's being taught at Yahweh School of the Prophets. In order for your prayers to be effective, you have to first recognize and realize the proper order that prayers are to be prayed. If you not pray prayers in the proper order, then you will not have your prayers answered. Now, let me break these principles and techniques down to you. The word amiss means that you are praying out of proper order. So the proper order is knowing how to pray from your heart. If you know how to pray from your heart, then the retrievers that's in the spiritual realm will pick up your prayers. Now, I'm saying this again now. I want y'all to hear me. There's such a thing in the spiritual realm called the retrievers. Is there anyone under the sound of my voice know what is a retriever? Madam Host, is it anybody still there?
Yes, everybody wait for you, Kathy.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, yes. Would the retriever be an angel?
Yes, ma'am. A retriever is an angel. Praise God. Now, I'm not going to get real technical because I can see now that there's a lot of this stuff that people have not heard of before. But just because we have not heard of it don't mean that it is not happening. A retriever is an angel that has been assigned to pick up your prayers. As soon as a prayer is prayed, there's going to be a retriever to pick up your prayers. This retriever may be of the holy side or the unholy side. Are y'all hearing me now?
Mm-hmm.
A retriever is an angel or a spirit that will pick your prayers up and let me let all this noise get by. A retriever is an angel that will pick your prayers up and take it to where it needs to go. But before a retriever will pick up your prayer, there has to be something that comes up on the scene called a adjuster and a stenographer. A stenographer is the one that analyzes the sincerity of your prayer according to the way that you speak it, according to the wisdom that you got and what you know. There's a lot of people praying don't even know the effect of the prayer. They don't even know if it's from the heart. They don't know if it's from the mind or from the mouth. They're just doing something because they think it's right. But the stenographers are the one that determines if your prayer is real or not. Then the stenographers will give it to the retrievers. And the retrievers are the one that's going to either take your prayers to honor it by God or to honor it by the devil. So how is it that I can pray a prayer of protection to go down the road and everybody in the car get killed? And I assume and think that I'm praying to God. Now, I want everyone to understand what the prophet is saying. Look how many of us that rides on an airplane, we don't have no idea whatsoever how it flies. We don't know nothing about how an airplane flies, but we'll ride on it. And we'll get from a destination from one point to the other. But the mechanics, the techniques, the principles, the technology, the engineering of what it takes to accomplish what it is that you desire to accomplish by where you're going, you don't know nothing about it, but it's there. So it's the same thing with prayers, y'all. Prayers are designed to be in order for it to be effective. Now, to give you a perfect example of what I'm saying, let's turn to the book of Daniel. Mm-hmm. To give you a perfect example of what I'm telling you about the examiners, the stenographers, the retrievers, all of these things are real, y'all. Just because y'all don't know anything about them or never heard of them, it don't mean that they're not real, but I'm going to show you. They've got names, got patience. Let's turn to the book of Daniel, please, and let's look at the 10th chapter. Daniel, the 10th chapter, and let's look at the 12th verse. Let's go to the 9th verse to make it plainer. In the 9th verse it says, yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. 12th verse. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I have come for thy words. So who was that that came to pick up the word? It was a retriever that came to pick up the man's words. Now, the reason why come his words were able to be picked up, because he was not praying amiss. The stenographers, the adjusters, are able to work in conjunction together to allow certain avenues through protocol to go forward according to the way that we pray, whether we pray from the heart, the mind, or the mouth. So what is it when you pray from the mind that will allow a retriever of the wrong side to pick up your prayers? How is that an improper prayer? How is that an amiss prayer? Does anyone under the sound of my voice like to know the reason for that?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Well, let me give you some illustrations and some examples. Here it is. I'm praying to God for I'm praying to God for a blessing. Let's say the blessing of taking a trip to go on vacation. I pray to God for a blessing to go on vacation. I'm going to Disney World, and I pray to the Lord, Lord, I want to thank you for this trip to going to Disney World. I'm asking, Lord, that you provide for me and bless me and protect me and see that no hurt, harm, or danger come up on me as I make this trip. Now, the prayer that I just prayed was what you call a prayer of admiss, because I was praying out of proper order. So what would be the proper order according to the word of God for me to pray, for those of you that know how to pray? What would be the proper things to say? What would be the technique? What would I say that would be proper or in order? Anyone?
First of all, go ahead. First of all, you would come to your father humble, and you would say, if it's morning and evening, you say, good morning, Ashur, good morning, Jehovah. You use words that you're bringing God into it. You're calling out his name, Jehovah, Jesus, Father, Abba, Spirit of Truth.
Excuse me, Madam Host. That's incorrect. Let me explain to you now. You've got to understand what the word amiss means, first of all, in order to understand how to pray.
Yes.
The word amiss means that you out of proper order.
Order. Mm-hmm.
What would be the order? Now you got to think about what I'm saying to you. What would be the order that will allow you to know how to pray the proper way? What would be the order that lets you know the proper way to pray? Anybody?
Will it be to thank God first? Let's come and pray with thanks first.
That will be... Madam, that will be the actual process of thanking God, but that would not be the proper order. that will not be the initial order of what you need to know. Now, you are correct according to the process, but there's something that happens before that. Can anyone tell me? This is important.
Should be coming from your heart.
You have to know, you have to first know through knowledge what's going to take place in your heart before you can know the proper order of what's going to take place in your prayer. Am I right?
Right.
You have to have the knowledge of that. See, the knowledge of truth without knowing how to apply the truth is no good. So the knowledge of prayer and not knowing how to pray is no good. So what the Lord is allowing us to learn here is how to apply what it is that we've learned the knowledge to receive. So what would be the first thing that will allow us to not to pray amiss that we should know? Now, do you all see now why come so many prayers aren't answered?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like going down the road, reading a road map. It's like going from Houston to Louisiana. It's like going from Oklahoma to Arkansas. You can be on the right road, y'all, going in the wrong direction. You can be on I-10 going towards supposedly New Orleans, but you could be going west instead of going east. You're on the right road, but you're going in the wrong direction. So this is what the Holy Ghost is trying to teach us. And the Holy Ghost being the teacher, he has principles and techniques that's in the proper order of us achieving what it is we need to achieve, so there is a consensus with our prayers being answered. Now, this young lady just stated that certainly we have to thank God, which is true. But what is it we have to know before we begin to thank God according to the order that God has set in motion for us? Is there anybody in the listening audience that is understanding where the prophet is coming from?
Prophet Sims, would we have to know what God has already freely given to us so that we'll...
Now, there we're getting somewhere. Praise the Lord. Now we're getting somewhere. We have to already know is, first of all, what God has already paid the price for, and what all God has already opened the door for us in order for us to be able to go to the place where the other caller said that we are to give thanks. Now we're getting somewhere. So it's the knowledge of recognizing what God has already put in place for us. So what has God put in place for us before we begin to pray? Come on, saints. What has he put in place for us when we begin to pray?
Would it be protection and our heart's desires as we delight ourselves in him?
Okay, someone help her out there. Let's go a little deeper. Okay, see, you've got to understand, first of all, if we go to the Word of God, thank you, Holy Ghost, we go to Psalms 103, there's such things as benefits, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's things as privileges, all right? As such thing as what we have, what you call covenant rights. Now, if we are not aware of the benefits if we're not aware of the privileges, if we're not aware of our covenant rights, then first of all, every prayer we pray is going to be amiss. Every prayer that comes out of our mouth is going to have words as such as this, is that we're going to be asking for something that we already have. Why would you ask for something that you already have? To ask for something that you already have is a sign that assures that you're not aware of what it is you do have. And when you're not aware of what you do have, in the sight of, watch it now, the stenographers, the adjusters, the regulators, they're the ones that determine whether your prayers are to be picked up or not. So that reveals that there's a lack of faith. So this person already been tagged, according to the adjusters, the retrievers, the regulators, the stenographers, as a person with a lack of knowledge. And because of a lack of knowledge, the Bible says, what happens?
People perish.
Because of a lack of knowledge of the way that I pray, people are sick. From a lack of knowledge of the way that I pray, people are being killed. And because the church, and I'm going to say this again, because the church does not know how to pray, this is why people are turning their backs to the church. Because the church does not know how to pray. The church does not know how to take advantage of its benefits and its privileges and its covenant rights according to the way that it prays. So you don't have to be no rocket scientist to when you conduct an analysis and the statistics come back and people are asking, well, if y'all are praying and y'all have a connection with God and I see that you're speaking in tongues and the Holy Ghost is with you, but why isn't there's no demonstration to the connection that God is honoring your request? And it's all because, y'all, we don't know the proper protocol of prayer. We're not aware of the retrievers, the adjusters, the stenographers, the regulators, those that are put in place to carry our prayers and to bring them back. Now notice in the 10th chapter of Daniel, notice now what I've been saying that I want you to take a very close look at. In the 10th chapter of Daniel, in the 12th verse, in the latter part of the verse, it says, and I am come for thy words. Now, wait a minute, y'all. You mean to tell me this man and these retrievers, these adjusters and regulators, heard the prayer? So somebody tell me, why come it took 21 days for them to get the prayer, even though they heard it the first day that it was spoken? Somebody please tell me what was hindering the retrievers from picking up these prayers the first day that they heard them. Can somebody tell me?
Is this the place where a prayer got held up in the spiritual realm, where the prayer got held up?
Okay. Now, how did it get held up?
By the deceiver, the unholy angel?
By the prince of Persia.
Yeah, the chief prince, yeah.
Right, by the unholy retrievers. By the unholy interferers. These entities, y'all, were keeping the prayer from being picked up. Now, think about if here we are not knowing the proper procedure and technique of praying, And here it is, we just go on running off at the mouth thinking that we're accomplishing something, that here it is, you've got these other sources that know what their function is, they know what their role is, and they're good at what they do. And this is what they designed to do, and this is how they function. Then we know now why come a lot of our prayers unheard. We know now why come a lot of our prayers and our desires are not answered. Now, here goes the clincher. Now, this is the part that really gets people upset with the prophet right here. This is why people are really, really, really angry and mad at Prophet Sims about what I'm going to tell y'all. All of a sudden, you recognize in the book of Job, you recognize that God and the devil had what you call a relationship. Did y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
God and the devil had a relationship. They both knew one another. They both knew about one another. They both respected one another to a certain degree, but they were able to have a dialogue. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
They were able to have a conversation about what was going on with Mr. Job. Now, if the people under the sound of my voice don't realize that you got to know who these retrievers are, you got to know all about them as much as they know about you. Now, there are techniques through prayer that will teach you how to know about these entities, who they are and what they do. And it will take an enormous amount of time to teach these principles and techniques about prayer, of how to be able to know how to deal with these particular entities in the spiritual realm. Now, this is what's amazing. When you look behind the scenes, the question is asked, does it really take all of that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, notice what the Lord says. He says, well, if I know what you need before you ask, now hear this again. If I know what you need before you ask, then why do you ask? Now, I want y'all to catch this now. Don't miss this. Now, if I know what your desires are before you make requests for your desires, then why would I afford the privilege to you to be able to have desires more so than your needs and your wants? Did y'all hear what I said by what I didn't say? Did anybody hear what I did not say by what I said? Hello, is anybody out there?
Yes, sir. We listening.
But are y'all understanding what I'm saying? This is not over y'all's head, is it?
Mm-hmm. It's good.
So when you talk about wants and when you're talking about asking for needs, all of a sudden we got a thing called desire. Desires seem to go past wants and needs. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I need to have me a good woman. I need to have me a good wife. I'm high. I'm tired of these skeezers. I'm tired of these spiritual whores. I'm tired of these gas tops and fish heads. Could you send me a Proverbs 31 woman? This is my desire, Lord. Is this possible? And he said, well, prophet, you have to learn how to pray in order to get a Proverbs 31 woman, or in retrospect, a Proverbs 31 man. So as the Holy Ghost instructed me how to pray, and as I began to pray, I noticed and I saw my wife in a vision before I ever met her. I was so excited. So you have to know how to break a matrix. in your prayers by praying the proper way. But you got to understand, forces and sources out there that's hindering each and every one of your prayers from going forward. Now, if you don't know how to deal with those sources that's put in motion to hinder you from getting your desires are not going to come through. Hello? If you don't know how to deal with the opposition, aware of the opposition that's placed in motion to prevent you from getting your desires, then your desires are not going to come forth. Because you have to be able to combat and confront those things that's hindering your blessings from coming forth. So, is everybody still with me?
Yes, sir.
So all of a sudden you notice that maybe I might not be praying right. I might be praying from my mind. I might be praying from my mouth. There were some people that was on the line of Yahweh School of the Prophets not long ago. They were going to teach us how to pray. And we've come to discover and recognize and realize that what they was teaching us didn't have any credence behind it, didn't have any authority behind it, didn't have any power, didn't have no demonstration or manifestation. That sounded real good. It's some of the best prayers I ever heard. I've never heard prayers so eloquent and spoken in such profound manner. But you know what was speaking that prayer, y'all?
The mouth.
That was the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And guess whose mouth was being used? The mouth of a what? The mouth of a demon, y'all.
Mm.
Demons know how to pray better than Christians do. But they pray from the mind, and they pray from the mouth. When you pray from the mind and the mouth, it sounds good to the flesh. When you pray from the heart, you're gonna notice there's a lot of stumbling. There's going to be a lot of stuttering. There's going the flow might not sound right. Come adakaskene etisitas. Shekamake silinitas. Sheni atakeskeme hoto. Skelamasane ene ani kiseamosito. Shane etekalasama shehita. So all of a sudden, we got to get some help from the Holy Ghost. According to Romans, the 8th chapter, because we're discovering that something ain't right. So we go to all of these so-called spiritual gurus, spiritual superstars, and spiritual icons. I'm finna get ready to go through something. I'm finna go down and buy me a dog pen. Can you pray for me that I get the dog pen? So all of a sudden you got Bishop Bobo Sam Sausage Head, and you got Apostle Willie Poo Poo praying for you to get a dog house. And all of a sudden you keep wondering why come that you ain't getting a doghouse. You know it ain't nothing to get no doghouse, but you can't get something as simple as a doghouse, and you go on to these folks that you think, because of the titles that they've got, that they know how to get a prayer through. And you ain't seeing no results. So all of a sudden there comes a spirit that seems to lodge upon us, that a spirit of what you call a lethargic spirit, a spirit of uncertainty, a spirit of really, is this stuff really works? And why come it's not working with me? I hear all these praise reports that's coming in from other folks, but why come it's, when I pray it's not working for me? Have you ever wondered this? Is anybody still there?
Yes, sir.
Right here, sir.
We're here.
Anybody on the chat line?
Yeah, there's people. There's someone on the chat line writing down what you're saying for somebody else that may not be able to get on to something, but they can read everything just about you saying. It's a prophetess is recording stuff on the chat line.
Okay, praise God. So what we have learned at Yahweh School of the Prophets is how to be able to. Now, listen to what I'm going to say to you now. This is going to be very profound, and it's going to be very controversial, but it's not to us. We at Yahweh School of the Prophets have learned how to control the atmosphere and the environment for the true and living God. We have learned how to control the atmosphere and the environment that decrees the promise that Jesus Christ did not go to the cross and die in vain. Through these principles and techniques that you're not going to find in any book is what the Holy Ghost has revealed to us. This comes directly from the Holy Ghost. It's not in any books. The things that we are saying to you about the retrievers, we had to learn what the name of these retrievers are. The stenographers, we had to learn the names. The providers, we had to learn the names. So all of these principles and techniques are proven and tried. We're witnessing this everyday breakthrough, supernaturally from all points of view. Healing and deliverance. We got a call just yesterday. A man that had full-blown AIDS. Do y'all hear me? A man that had full-blown AIDS called and gave a praise report. He wants to know how that with a word that we were able to convince the scales in his body to be made whole. He said throughout all of the medication that he was taking from the doctors and all of the techniques that man had, that the only thing we had to do was just to pray a word and the bodily organs begin to respond to the request of our prayers. And this was amazing to him because he wanted to know where this type of authority and where this power came from. And we were able to give the praise to the true and living God.
Amen.
We were able to give the honor to the true and living God that the sacrifices that he made at Calvary was not in vain, y'all. So when look at the authority that's placed in us to be able to control and manipulate the environment because we are ambassadors of a true and living God. There are principles and techniques that must be taught. Why did it take Jesus 30 years to perform his first miracle? What was he doing? What was he learning? What was he studying?
Mm-hmm.
What was being taught unto him? These are some of the principles that I'm speaking to y'all now. Now, to give you an illustration of what I'm saying, you have to turn to the 19th chapter of Acts because this is going to help you to understand how it is you need to be able to recognize through prayer what it is that praying for.
Amen.
Amen.
Knowledge that you need to have.
Amen.
How is it that I'm supposed to, before we go there, let's go to 1 Corinthians. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for correcting me. And then we'll go to Acts. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, please, everyone.
Yeah.
Amen.
Madam Host, how much time do I have left? Do I have any time left?
You got a time, because I put us on for 2 hours, so you got 5.
Okay. Now, this is something that I want y'all to understand. Now, I'm going to ask the question to all of you spiritual superstars and all of you spiritual icons just as soon as I read this. Now, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter. And I'm going to read this, and I'm going to ask some questions. This is important, very important. 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, beginning with the 4th verse, and this is Paul stating this. He says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." So all of a sudden, saints, we recognize that we are dealing with two different types of wisdom. What the prophet is speaking to you now by the direction of the Holy Ghost is the wisdom of God. So all of a sudden, the wisdom of man does not know about regulators, does not know about watchers, does not know about adjusters, retrievers. Man wisdoms cannot conceive that, because it takes the Holy Ghost to pierce beyond the veil of your consciousness and your mind to bring you to a revelation of comprehension. So if you don't have that revelation of comprehension that's given to you by the Holy Ghost, this stuff here that I'm speaking to you is ludicrous. It doesn't make any sense. Man's wisdom and God's wisdom is two different types of wisdom. It says, but in the power of God, notice that, but in the power of God, how be it we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. So all of a sudden, we've got, instead of two different types of wisdom, we've got three different types of wisdom. We've got a wisdom from God, got a wisdom from man, and we got a wisdom of the world. Oh, you don't say. So whose wisdom, according to prayer, am I following? Am I following the wisdom of man, the wisdom of the world, or the wisdom of God when I pray? Now listen to this carefully, everyone. But we speak the wisdom of God in what?
In mystery.
So all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost is opening up mysteries through the type of principles and techniques and prayer that we're speaking to you about. A retriever, to most folks, is a mystery. All of a sudden, even in Malachi, a devourer has a name, but it's a mystery to most people. In the 4th chapter of St. Matthew, the tempter is a mystery. But because of the mercy and the grace of a true and living God, the Spirit of truth is able to reveal unto us of all truth these mysteries, y'all. How to apply what it is that we need to know. Now, notice what I'm going to say to you. And listen very carefully, because I don't want you to miss this blessing. It says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto whose glory?
Our glory.
So this is something that we have been given, that we may bring glory back to the person that gave it to us. But tell me, how can we do this
if we're ignorant of the devices, of the techniques and principles that's been afforded to us. Now, to show you what I mean, most of us have learned how to pray just by hearing what somebody else has said. Lord, would you please cool the scorching fevers up on the head? Lord, would you please do this? We're copying what other people are saying through their prayers, but we don't know why they said it. We don't know the meaning or the purpose that we said it. But what the Lord is teaching us here today and through Yahweh's School of the Prophets is how to have purpose to the things and the meaning to the things that you pray. Now, as I stop there and go down a couple of verses, I want you to know this. I want you to go down to the 12th verse. And it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know all, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of who?
God.
Now, as you turn over, now don't nobody get mad about what I'm finna say. But I'm finna expose some people here. I'm finna expose some apostles, some prophets, some bishops, some superstars and everything else that claim to know things about God's mysteries. Now, when you look at the fact of what it says in the 13th verse, it says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. Did y'all catch that?
Mm-hmm.
Not in the words that man's wisdom teaches. Man's wisdom does not teach in any church, any book that you buy about watchers. Man's wisdom does not teach about adjusters, about regulators, about retrievers, or stenographers, supporters. Man's wisdom does not teach that, because man's wisdom does not know this. You have to get this from the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is the teacher. But the Spirit of truth, which brings you to all truth, there is nothing else that you can know or learn after you receive the all truth. So man's wisdom does not teach this. That's why come our prayers are ineffective. This is why our prayers are not answered. And it says that, but which the Holy Ghost do what?
Teaches.
It's the Holy Ghost that teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, listen to me carefully, saints. How is it possible that you are praying with the wisdom of man and the wisdom of the world and think that you're going to receive the results that God's wisdom will provide? Did y'all catch that? So you're praying with the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of man, so whose results are you going to get? Okay, let me make it clear. We're going to go up here a little higher, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go a little higher to make this clear. Let's go to the 9th verse, and I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. In the 9th verse, it says, but it is written, eye has not seen or ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now, watch what I'm going to share with you that's going to let the cat out the bag. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the Spirit which is of man? Did you catch that? So if you are functioning and operating under the prayers of man's wisdom and the world's wisdom, what kind of results do you think you're going to get? Hello? You're not going to get God's plan. You're going to be exposed as a perpetrator. You're going to be exposed as a fraud. You're going to be exposed as a liar because there's no demonstration there. Well, Lord, I pray that we go to Florida. I don't know why you made a mistake and killed half of the folks on the bus. I don't know how you made that mistake. So we go back over to the 14th and the 15th verse that says this, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Do you know how many people that's calling me a false prophet? Do you know how many people that's saying that Yahweh School of the Prophets is a cult? When you look at the evidence, when you look at the manifestation and the results, well, why is it that there's no proof that the favor of God, that the character or the nature of God is on anything that you're doing through your prayers? So Nicodemus was able to tell Jesus, he says, now, I know that you are a man of God because of the things I see, that only that the hand of God being on you, that this evidence can come forth. So how long is the body of Christ going to just consider to be ignorant to the fact that their prayer life ain't working? How long is it going to take for someone to say that, hey, y'all, this ain't working. It ain't working. It ain't right. It ain't working. So we at Yahweh School of the Prophets are been given the mandate and the assignment are coming that states in the 15th verse, it says, but he that is spiritual, do what?
Judges all things.
Now, this is the, somebody has to be able to keep somebody accountable. Do y'all hear me? Somebody in the spiritual realm through the prayers that people are lying and being hypocritical about, somebody has to expose the truth, y'all.
Amen.
Somebody has to be able to do that. And it puts you in a very compromising, almost, and a very uncomfortable situation. Because, God, I really don't want to say these things because I know that the great Poupon bishop and the great Poupon apostle that's got all these books that they wrote, and they on the television shows, and they all over the world, people are worshiping them. Who am I to expose these mysteries? And the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of Truth will say, prophet, all you got to do is say, where is their proof at? All you got to do is ask the question, is where is the proof? In other words, I've got the hamburger, but where's the beef? I got the hamburger. No beef on it. So why should it be called a hamburger? Or why should this be called answered prayer if there's no answers to be given? There's no demonstration and manifestation. So what the prophet is telling everyone today is that you need to examine yourself with your prayers because you're praying amiss the communication of the way that you're using the privileges that's been afforded unto you. They're not showing up. So I serve notice to all of you apostles, all of you prophets. I challenge you, bishops, all you spiritual superstars and icons, that you're getting ready to run into a brick wall. The Holy Ghost has revealed to the prophet by a vision that the devil is using us as crash dummies. Say this again. That the devil is using us as crash dummies. Holds us up in a car and runs us straight into a brick wall. And as soon as we run into the brick wall and nothing happens, he takes us out of that vehicle and puts us in another vehicle and runs us into the wall again. And when you look at the statistics that's coming forward, the report is going back to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because of these crashes and because of these roadblocks and impasses that we're not accomplishing anything in the spiritual realm, y'all. All we're doing is a bunch of talking and a bunch of chanting without results. So at this time, the prophet opens the floor to everyone under the listening audience and in the chat line to ask questions to be able to get a clear understanding from their own personal prayer life, what is it they need to do to check themselves before they wreck themselves. It's open, Madam Host.
If anybody in the chat line would like to ask questions, type in the chat line and I can convey it over to the prophet at this time. And if there's anybody on the phone, area code 409, if you would like to ask something, I think you're at work, so you probably can't come on. You can just probably listen. Thank you so much for coming on. But if there's anyone would like to ask some questions, or something concerning prayer that you wasn't sure of, something you've heard today that you've never heard before, this is a good time now to ask where it can be done, can make it clarified to you about prayer and why your prayers are not being answered.
Quite apparent, Madam Host, that everybody's prayers are being answered. I know that's not true.
Uh-huh.
Not true because, see, being a prophet, you can, at the level that I am, and this is not boasting, the level that I am, I'm able to hear the unheard, see the unseen, and know the unknown. This is not a boasting. This is just a fact of what it is you know. People are afraid to incriminate themselves. They're afraid to be embarrassed. But they're already embarrassed by ignorance and stupidity in the spiritual realm. So it's already known in the spiritual realm to where it matters most what a person is. What a person knows. If you don't know, you just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So the only 10% in the flesh that has not been exposed, the 90% in the spiritual realm is already known. So there's nothing that's hid that is not already known. So, you know, when the opportunity becomes to you, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart, says the Word of God. So this opportunity, apparently, that those of us that has the Holy Ghost, which we all do, but we all have the Holy Ghost at different levels and different degrees, the Holy Ghost in you may not be able to comprehend what is going on at this particular phase or stage in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So because the opportunity is available to you now to get some understanding, it would be to your benefit to ask the question that is on your mind.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Prophet Sims, I have a question. About a few minutes ago, you started praying in a language that I didn't understand what you were saying. And as it is pertaining to prayer, Why did you begin praying in the language that you did?
One of the reasons is what I informed everybody about who is able to retrieve what it is you say. Notice that, and this is what really confuses a lot of people. Notice if Daniel never prayed, then the sources that are in the spiritual realm that brings about the adjustments would never have been in motion. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
So when I prayed what I prayed in a heavenly language, this was to activate those forces and sources in the spiritual realm that will open up the minds to receive what was being said.
Yes, sir.
It has to be spoken in order for the players that are assigned in the spiritual realm to do what they do, to perform what it is that they perform. This is what they're created for. Now, to show you what I mean, madam, is this. When you look at the fourth chapter of St. Matthew, those angelic hosts and entourage that were assigned to Jesus after he passed his test never administered at all to him until he passed his test. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
What I'm getting everyone to understand that according to the assignment that's given to these entities that's placed in this world to be a blessing to us, according to Psalms, the 8th chapter, the Lord says, I've made you a little bit lower than the angels, but I will give you the authority to judge angels. So when you look at the fact that if nothing is never spoken, madam, then these angels are never activated to do what it is that they do. Now notice what I'm saying, and please hear this, y'all. In the book of Job, it says that the devil's job is to kill, steal, destroy, and confuse. Am I right?
Uh-huh.
Now, notice if the word was never spoken, if the word was never challenged, have you considered?
That's 7-2.
If that word was never spoken, the activation to respond have never occurred. But there has to be a word initiated, first of all, y'all, in the proper technique and principles of prayer that's going to allow those activations to take place.
Yes, sir.
So that's the reason why, madam, that I had to do that. It's because this stuff that you're hearing, it ain't never been heard of before, except for in the spiritual realm. The devil is highly upset. He's highly pissed off because the cloak is taking over him, y'all.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
He's exposed now. And to show you what I was telling you about when you go to the book of Acts, let's go to the book of Acts. We just read that they that are spiritual judges all things and know all things in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter. Just read that, am I right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes.
So as we go to Acts, if we are supposed to know all things and we're supposed to judge all things because we have the characteristics of the image and likeness of God, then in the 19th chapter of Acts, the sons of Sceva, why is it that in the 19th chapter of Acts from the 13th to the 15th verses, why did these people that had these wonderful titles did not know the demons that were in their presence? And in retrospect, then how did the demons know them? How did the demons know the sons of Sceva, which we're supposed to be made in the image and likeness of God to know all things, to judge all things, to hear all things and see all things, then why come they couldn't see the demons, but the demons could see them? So how are you going to fight a prayer or to fight in spiritual warfare when you don't know what you're up against when you begin to pray? You don't know how to utilize the tools, the principles, the benefits, and the techniques that's been afforded to you. You don't know how to use the utensils. So how are you going to be effective in your prayer? Mm-hmm. So as we conduct a spiritual checkup of ourselves, we're able to derive at a spiritual analysis that I've been praying wrong all my life. No wonder I'm the tail. I'm at the tip of the tail. I'm not just the tail. I'm at the tip. Mm-hmm. And I've got to work my way back to the head with my prayer. So I've come to find out that I was communicating with God. Now, catch this, everyone. I was communicating with God, but God was not communicating with me. God was not communicating with me because I was praying amiss. I was praying out of order. I've been praying with my mind. I've been praying with my mouth. I didn't pray with my heart because I don't know the principal techniques through meditation in order to corral my heart to where my heart is totally and independently focusing up on nothing but the Lord. So I don't really know where I'm coming from in my prayers. I'm really not assured, I'm really not confident that God really going to honor my request because I'm not seeing any results. So once again, the prophet, the general overseer of Yahweh's School of the Prophets, opens the door for questions to be asked.
This is the host. I have a question. As you was talking, I was thinking. For the prayer, in various churches, you see people come in that's sick, that go up for prayer Sunday after Sunday, and people pray for them. So, and you don't see no result. So that's praying amiss, right?
That is praying amiss, and it's shaming. It is shaming our Savior because of the fact that the price has already been paid. Praying amiss, that is what you call an open prayer.
Okay.
That is prayer that's prayed out of ignorance. That's prayer that's prayed out of stupidity. And it is a prayer, the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death and destruction. It sounds good.
And I have a person on the chat line that say, no, God always answers prayers, but we fail to accept any other answer that the one we want.
God, if God always answers prayer, and this is to the person on the chat line, then if God always answers prayer, then why don't we see a demonstration of what it is that he gives us? Now, what I mean by that, you going to tell me that God always answers prayer if we go down the road and have the people get killed? Now, I need someone on the chat line, whoever wrote that, to explain that. I need someone on the chat line that just last year, sitting up in Alabama in church on Sunday, a tornado run through and kill half of the people in church? Did God answer that prayer? I need somebody in the chat line to break that down for the prophet.
And say, you refuse to see that which you don't to want to see. You don't want to see.
Okay, what I'm saying as a prophet to what I just asked, how is God always answering a prayer when people in the church are praying that the tornado bypass them, that no hurt, harm, and danger come to them, and they wind up getting killed? Anybody on the line, somebody tell me why God always answers a prayer like that, that people pray. Explain that to the prophet, please.
And they say all things happen the way God has planned.
Oh, so the person in the chat line telling me that it's God's will that these people get killed?
And they say because God has a purpose even with the tornado.
Listen to me now. I said God has given us a promise that he has afforded to us. But the Lord says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. Now, I want to share something with everybody in the chat line or wherever. If the protective covering and the shield of God is upon you, if you're living in Goshen, I don't care where the tornadoes are at. If you're living in Goshen under the protective hedge of God with the wisdom and knowledge of knowing the truth by all truth, you're not going to leave out of here before the promise. Now, I'm a living testimony to this, and I've got proof to back this up. This is not speaking in innuendos or generalities. I'm saying, as a prophet of God, would anybody under the sound of my voice say that the people sitting up in the church praying for safety, praying for protection, is what God wants to happen to them? Now, I'm going to share something with you. Why do Christians get sick? Why do bad things happen to good people? This is what I direct to the chat line, because I recognize and realize it's because of the ignorance of what it is that we know. Are we saying that Jesus Christ went to the cross in vain? He said, by the stripes I'm healed. So why are people sick if I'm supposed to be healed?
Okay. Yeah, not to cut you off in the chat line, cause I want to keep up with it. The chat line said, who are we to judge God's will and plans? Question. God never promised permanent protection in life, comma, but he promised a safe arrival at the gates of heaven, period.
Well, I'm gonna tell the people in the chat line this here, and I'm going to tell everybody in the sound of my voice. I know for sure as a prophet of a true and living God that God will reveal the future to everyone that has the ability to understand. I serve notice to the chat line and everyone in the sound of my voice. The handwriting on the wall will tell you how to be able to remove yourself from the catastrophes, from the stresses and strains of this life. 9/11, there are several reports that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ went to those people that had the ability to be able to hear the sensitivity of the Holy Ghost, and they were instructed not to go to work that day. There were Christians that didn't hear in the chat line because of the sensitivity of being able to understand the GPS system of the Holy Ghost, they went to work. They died before their time because they could not heal. So can't nobody tell the prophet that the Lord wished that we should perish for the price that we paid. I can give you numerous occasions in my own life to where the Lord will forewarn you through a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge about what's to occur. But you have a decision and a choice to choose whether you want to live long or whether you want to die early. Now, I want someone to explain to me that, how
okay.
God forewarned you.
The chat line, someone wrote, sometimes God allows a person to be sick for different reasons. Maybe he wants that person to learn patience. God can never reveal anything that is inconsistent to his word. The next thing is, there are some things in life in which we will never know. But the question is, will you still trust him regardless of what happened in life? Nobody dies before his time. Nobody lives beyond his time. Our days are numbered even before we are born. Those are the things they're asking.
Now, this is what I notice what I'm hearing in the chat line, everyone. Now, if I'm going to take God's position by removing the promises and benefits that God has afforded to me. Now, I want to say this. I want everyone to turn to Psalms 103. I want everybody to turn to Psalms 103 in the chat line and everywhere. I love this kind of stuff because this is what I've been trained. This is what I've been trained before the foundation of the world. And this is what I need to know, and this is what I'm going to ask everyone in the chat line and everyone under the sound of my voice. And I want everyone to hear me. In Psalms 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all, not a few, of his benefits.
Oh.
Who forgiveth all of thy iniquities, and who healeth all of thy diseases, and who redeemed thy life from destruction, and who crowned thee with love and kindness. Am I not to trust this, y'all, according to Proverbs, the third chapter? Am I not to trust what the word of God says? Am I to look forward to something happening to me other than what God has said in his word? The Bible tells me to trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into my own recollections to perceive or discern what could happen to me. But if I truly and fully trust the Lord by what his word reveals, then I'm able to receive a healing because there's a cancer on me. I'm able to receive a healing because there's a congested heart failure upon me because I'm taking advantage of the benefits that God's word said that I'm entitled to. So I'm somewhat confused. Am I to be in anticipation that something detrimental is going to happen to me for the price that has already been paid at Calvary? Am I to be expecting something to go wrong? Come on, y'all. This can't be. If that's the case, I would leave the house.
Okay, our next thing to what you're saying, Sodom and Gomorrah was warned too, but they did not listen to the man of God, and we saw what God did to that city. You cannot pick a verse in the scripture and disregard everything else. God is not as much concerned with our physical health as he is with our spiritual one.
That is a bald-faced lie. One of the directives that is a bald-faced lie. One of the directives from Jesus Christ was simply this, and this is what he told John the Baptist. John the Baptist asked Jesus, he said, "Are you the one, or should I expect another?" He didn't tell him about his spiritual self. Everybody, Jesus didn't tell John the Baptist about his spiritual self that he was the Son of God. He told him to tell John that the blind see, the lame walk. Now, when you talk about the gospel, I don't know who it is in the chat line, but when you talk about the gospel, according to Luke 4:18, it says that the Spirit of God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. Somebody's being misinformed. If God is not more concerned about the physical than he is the spiritual, then why is it that we are able to lead folks to a light of revelation by making a difference? We are the only ones that have a true and living God that can answer by fire when it comes to healing. So So how is it possible that God is more concerned about the spiritual and he is the physical? The gospel is the good news, is that all of this stuff was, that was intended to us before the foundation of the world, is that we not get sick. And we made an image and likeness of God. It wasn't God's intention initially that we get sick, that there be pestilence, there be sickness and disease. So whoever's in the chat line seem to be misinformed about their theology, because the good news of the gospel is, number one, a sign. The sign is the gospel, that the good news, you don't have to be sick no more. You don't have to suffer no more. But because of ignorance and stupidity of the truth of God's word, by all truth, we go through this because we're not really to understand what God has provided for us by the gospel, the good news. I don't have to go through this no more. I don't have to be sick. I'm living in divine health right now as a living testimony by God's, the price that he paid at Calvary. I'm living in divine health, and I'm looking to stay in divine health because the price has been paid. That's the promise, y'all. So somebody in the chat line is being misinformed.
Okay.
I don't understand that.
I have some more. Jesus was not concerned about the perishable, our bodies, but about the eternal, our spirit and soul.
What?
Wrong. Wait a minute. Wrong. Sickness is the result of the fall of mankind through the sin of Adam and Eve. Sin is what brings sickness. God never promised a sickless life. You are concerned more with your physical than the spirit.
When Adam and Eve came to this world, were they perfect or not? Anybody? Were they perfect?
Mm-hmm.
Was there any sin at all when they came?
Mm-mm.
Now, my question to those in the chat room, if what you say is true, then what would be the purpose for God creating us in the first place? Why would God create us to represent him if there wasn't a significant purpose? God didn't need to create us to prove exactly who or what he was. So why did he do that? Why was Adam and Eve made perfect? Why didn't he make Adam and Eve with sickness and disease so he could prove himself to be stronger or worthy? He didn't do that. Jesus had to come on the scene in order to correct an imperfection from God's initial intention in the first place. So when you look at the purpose of what God came here for and created man for, was to glorify himself through the creations that he had. But how can God glorify himself with a great magnitude when people are sick and can't worship and praise God the way that they should? So the imperfection has to be perfected in order for this to occur.
Okay. Adam and Eve was perfect. After the fall, they lost their perfection. Yes, they were, but when she took the bite of the fruit, they was not perfect anymore. God created Adam and Eve perfect because God cannot do anything less than perfect. Their sins.
Now, I want everybody to hear what was just come out of the chat line, okay? To hear what was said by what was not said. Now, when you look at the fact about the butts that's in there, y'all, how many butts do you have in there, madam? How many butts
On the first line, I have one butt.
Okay. Is there any more butts in there?
No.
Okay. Now, the prophet can rest his case on the butts. The prophet can rest his case on the ifs, because God's initial intention was for man to be made perfect, and he was perfect. Now, Jesus had to come on the scene to correct all of what took place through the gospel. So this is how you will know, according to Mark, of the 16th chapter, it says, these signs will follow them that believe me. So when you go to the church, y'all, it's going up and up and up and never coming down. People are following. It goes to show you what kind of prayers are being prayed. And so this is what I love about this wonderful prayer line and what is taking place in the chat room. This is truly a tremendous blessing. It is
The question is, John said the true worshipers will worship him in spirit and truth.
Okay, that's a good answer. Now, if a true worshiper will worship him in spirit and truth, let me show you. I love this. Let's go to St. John, the sixth chapter. Now, y'all keep that in mind there. The true worshiper will worship him in spirit and truth. And I'm grateful for those in the prayer line and the chat line, because those in the chat line, I see they got a lot to learn about the full understanding of what God's word is saying. It says that they just said that the true worshiper must worship God in spirit and truth, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the sixth chapter, what it says about the true worshiper. And let's look at the 63rd verse. It states that it is the spirit that quickens. Flesh profits nothing. But the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Did anybody catch that? I want y'all to read that again, especially in the chat room. Did anybody catch that? I don't believe nobody caught that.
Well, they say it right after that. Adam and Eve died spiritually when they rebelled and disobeyed. Jesus Christ came to allow us to be born again spiritually. Yes, spirit and life, eternal life, not earthly life.
I've just said, I want everybody to hear me carefully, what I just read in John 6 and 63. When you go to the Psalms 107 and 20, the word of God says that he sent his word, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And who is the word? The words that I speak to you is spirit and life. Who is the word, y'all? Come on, y'all. Let's get real. We know who the word is. And we know what word was sent. And we know why the word is being able to speak over this physical body, this fleshly body, to make it whole like Jesus in the image and likeness of what he is. Let's get real in the chat line, y'all. We understand and recognize and realize that your prayers ain't working. I'm letting everybody know in the chat line that your prayers ain't working right. You might as well go on and face it. We know the diversionary tactics that you're using by what you're speaking, it ain't accomplishing anything. The prayer still ain't working right. And they ain't going to work right because you're praying amiss. It's just that simple. So you can hide behind whatever you feel that you think that you were hiding behind. But the prophet knows that your prayers ain't working. And I serve notice to you, if you will humble yourself, listen and mind what I'm telling you, you will be able to know how to pray effectively to get your prayers answered. Now, that's the truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. I'm listening, Madam Holt.
My screen just went off, but wait a minute. They were saying, wait, let me pull it back up.
We're running out of time.
Oh, yeah, our time is up. We can go over a little bit longer. I believe, now this is a person's belief, I believe the caller has a lot to learn.
Now, I want you to ask the person in the chat line this, and we're gonna conclude this. Now, this person said that they believe that the caller has a lot to learn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if whoever said this that claims to have the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit in them, That's the Holy Ghost, who the caller is. The person that's speaking right now, if you know that you've got the Holy Ghost in you, ask the Holy Ghost who I am and see what answer you get. And let me hear what they say, please. Is there an answer?
Not yet.
Do we have an answer yet?
Oh, no, sir.
Well, I wonder why we're not getting an answer, y'all. Is everybody listening to me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm wondering why come we're not getting an answer. We got an answer to all of these rebuttals. We got an answer to all of these other things that were spoken. Why are we not getting an answer now? Do we have an answer yet?
Mm-mm.
Well, the prophet rests his case, and this has been very enlightening, very enriching. I thank everybody for the opportunity and privilege of this opportunity to represent the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth, the Father, and the Son. Whether anyone believes it or not, I am qualified. I've been sanctioned, ordained, appointed, and anointed for this type of service. And any one of you that know the Holy Ghost, have a connection and a dialogue with the Holy Ghost, I'm assured and know without a shadow of a doubt the Holy Ghost will tell you who I am. So I thank you, Madam Host, and may the Lord richly bless your program and your ministry. And I ask the Lord to bless all of those that's under the sound of my voice in the chat room or wherever, that they may be richly blessed and learn how to pray properly, that the sources that are in the unseen world can assist them with their prayers to where their prayers may be answered, okay?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Oh, I want to thank all my callers, all those in the chat room, those that came on the switchboard. I thank you all today for coming and making this show possible, because we all are learning. We all don't know everything, even reading the scriptures. We all are falling short somewhere, but we are learning and striving. That's why we're in the Word of God, so we can learn more to help each other. For where one don't know or one is falling short, God has given someone else a little bit more than the other. We can all share together. And I thank God for this topic today on the second half of prayer. And on next week, we have an exciting topic where your host will be on talking next week, so check your schedule and hope you can stop by and come on and be partaker of the show on next Wednesday. It's going to be a good show. I don't have my paperwork right in front of me to tell you, but if you go on Blog Talk for Joy and Peace Outreach, you'll find which show I have set up for next week. And this will be a very exciting topic, and I think everyone can participate in that. And that's why we do the shows, because there's so many people out there that don't know about Christ, don't know how to pray, or they're wondering why their prayers are not being heard. Some people prayers are, but you have people that's been praying for the same thing 10 years, 15 years, and so on. And they don't have a clue why they're not being heard. But I thank our prophetess V for coming on and starting the chat room for me. Thank you very much, friend there in Florida. Thank you so much. And kiss that beautiful new daughter for me. I give God praise. I give God praise because he's worthy to be praised. He's very worthy. And I want to thank my guest, Prophet, Andrew Sims from Chattanooga, Tennessee, for being my guest on Joy and Peace today. And I want everyone to have a blessed, a wonderful, exciting day in the Lord today. It's a new beginning for everyone.
And we all are learning every day. We all have a lot to learn that we haven't learned, that we don't know. That's why we are in this word daily, every day, so we can learn what God is saying to each and every one of us. And I want to say again, I want to welcome thank every one of my callers that came on today, those that share their views, whether on the chat line or whether on the regular station. I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And until next Wednesday, I want each and every one of you all to have a blessed day in the Lord.
Excuse me, ask the callers, would you please ask the callers where they're from and who they are, please?
Okay. On the chat line, all callers that's still on the chat line, would you put on the chat line where you're from, and I'm going to try to go back to the my switchboard if they haven't cut me off. I think on the switchboard, one is from Jacksonville, Florida, one is from Tulsa, Oklahoma, one is from Texas City, Texas, one is from Houston, Texas, that's on the switchboard, and on the chat line, one is from Miami, Florida. And I don't have, the rest of them have left. I don't know where they were from.
They are.
Mhm. So it may be others that's listening in that are just listening that didn't come on the chat line or did come on the other part of the show. So I thank God for each and every one that's listening or will listen in the archives later on. I thank God for you all. And do come back again. Don't let this be your last time to the show. We have more topics coming up that you'll be able to participate in. If this wasn't your best topic today on prayer, we have others. But we hope prayer be at the very top of your list, because the way the world is going and things that's happening, we need prayer, and we need to be able to get a prayer through. And until next week, each and every one of you all be blessed. Thank you so much for a wonderful show today. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.